All right. Welcome to our second weekly podcast at Bleed Geek. I'm Randy Orvis.
I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Patrick McGivern.
Yeah, and coming at you from my apartment yet again. I think this will be our typical recording studio, we will say.
In case we decide to travel one day, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully we'll be able to someday travel to Japan or Vegas and do something crazy. It'd be fun.
It would be fun.
It has been an extremely active week for tech stuff. Since our last recording, we have Apple doing their unveiling, Microsoft coming out with new stuff, Amazon coming out saying that they're losing all sorts of money because of Lady Gaga. What else? Oh, Call of Duty. Call of Duty wants to do some charging services. It's just been nuts.
I think it's just going to be a jam-packed week and a half. I mean, well, all things did wrap up today? I don't know. They started
I'm not sure if
two nights ago or something. But that's been going. And then Monday, of course, will be WWDC, which is Apple's big event. And then 2 days after that, I think E3 starts. And that'll be big, of course, for all gamers.
Lots to talk about.
Oh, seriously? Well, the big one for E3 is Nintendo, what they're unveiling. There's tons of rumors, but there are no official, there's nothing confirmed nor denied, but I know Nintendo has said that they, at E3, they will have a working demo for people to try, so.
They've announced they will announce it.
Yes. So that should be
Project Cafe is what they're currently referring to it as.
Yes.
A lot of the rumors seem to think that there's going to be a 6-inch display on the controller, sort of reminiscent of the Dreamcast controller, I think.
Yes, I just saw it today. They'd showed it. Yeah, it was like a little kind of looked like a pop-up sort of LCD, and then it reminded me of like a kind of a pancaked version of the PlayStation controller, dual joysticks in the center with four buttons on the right and a D-pad on the left.
There's a pretty good picture on This Is My Next of what they think it'll be. So that was, if you guys want to check it out, thisismynext.com.
Yeah, I'll pull up a
link
if you guys want to go bust into our first story.
Well, we can start out with Apple, I guess.
Yeah.
Might as well start out with our giant. On Tuesday morning, since Monday was Memorial Day, so May 31st, Apple announced that they were going to unveil Mac OS X, Lion, iOS 5, and they actually said iCloud, which confirming the name. Although most people don't realize that, maybe they do. Apple likes to keep a tight clasp on everything, and normally they don't even announce what they're gonna announce. And so they thought it was kind of an odd move, but I think they kind of just wanted to stay on top of the news this week heading into it, because with the All Things D conference, obviously a lot of things have been getting demoed and talked about, and I think they just kind of was their way of saying, we are coming out with something, definitely. I mean, we've known it's going to be about iOS and OS X, but what do you say? Oh.
Yeah, I think it's like, I think in the past they said that there's tons of speculation because they have always kept in wraps, what they were going to disclose. So, I don't know, Tech News Today talked about how, you know, a lot of times it's more of like a disappointment at what they do release at the WWDC. Just be based on speculation and what they could find from like patents and stuff that gets filed and case manufacturers or whatever, but
right.
But yeah, I think it's like, I don't know, it's a good move just to kind of just hone in, the speculation, even though they're not releasing everything that they're going to be talking about or like the fine details of the different services and products that they're going to be releasing, but it will just kind of,
I wonder what their thoughts were behind announcing it, because they've always been they're all about keeping it secret. I mean, I feel like Jobs sort of gets jollies out of letting people think, you know, like think what they want to think all the way up until the day that they announce it.
I think it was kind of also more pointing towards making it more known that there probably isn't going to be a new iPhone released. I think they kind of wanted to push thoughts toward the software even more and the cloud service than wondering, although the wondering of, is there going to be, you know, a new iPhone released?
I mean,
what's going to happen?
Right. I mean, being like a new iPhone user myself, I mean, what was the release between iPhones? Like how many?
It's been every year in July.
It's been every year.
Every year. So this and it's be the been, first year it's been, get. Yeah. And it's been announced usually shortly after WWDC, like within a week, they'll announce that this is when the iPhone is coming out. And then within about a month after that, it's been mid-July. Everyone has been mid-July-ish. They've all been in July, but ever since the first one, they've released one every year, so. But I don't think they would be releasing one. I mean, they just finally put out the white iPhone 4, and I think they wouldn't have done that if they. Why would they push a product if they're going to release a new one in another 3 months?
They want to give the white. I mean, they've got to sell the white, obviously. You know, they buy how many million white cases, and they don't want people to go, why would I buy a white one when I could just wait for the new one that's coming out in September or whatever?
There's something else I read somewhere, too, that made a good point of, well, it's funny that they did it the morning that Eric Schmidt was going to be on kickoff the All Things D conference, and How funny is that to kind of rub in his face, like, if you're up there and then he gets asked, well, what do you think about, instead of talking about Google, they're going to talk about, what do you think the new iCloud service is going to be like? Like, how do you think it'll compare to Google and have to be put on that spot, even though I don't think he was, but.
Yeah, I think, I'm trying to remember exactly what Eric Schmidt talked about. I know they did another demo with the Google Wallet. They kind of showcased that one again. Which was something neat. I mean,
they talked about, he just started out, I think, just asking general questions. I think they seem to really be asking him what he does on a day-to-day basis. That seemed to be what they kind of wanted to get down to. They kind of really wanted to find out, like, what really happened with him and, the current CEO, whose name is escaping me. But Larry Page, there we go. With the transition from him taking over, and they did talk about, you know, he stepped forward and said, you know, I dropped the ball in the social networking game. I was CEO then. I should have done something about it, but I didn't. You know, that type of, which, what are they going to know? He's not CEO, so.
Yeah, that's, I read a good article about that today, when Facebook was at 20 million users, they had tried to kind of weasel their way in and see if they can get some sort of information out of Facebook, you know, like, hey, open up some of your doors so we can search on you. And Facebook basically told them no. And it's interesting to... It'll be interesting to see what happens, because, I mean, they brought back the whole, like we had talked about last week, the whole Microsoft, Bing, and, or, I mean, not Microsoft and Bing, but Google, Bing, and Facebook, and how, you know, your friends, enemies, enemies, a friend, is that the way it goes?
Frenemies?
Frenemies.
Yeah. Frenemies, right. I mean, he brought up that there was a gang of four, is what he said, and they said that, you know, he thought it was... Apple, Amazon, and Google and Facebook were the big four now, and it was because they have such a control of the market share that they were. And he said the thing that Facebook does well is create an identity in the internet for people. Like, it creates an identity for them there, and that they had actually talked about doing that, but they kind of dropped the ball on it, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And they also talked about being investigated by the government. like how Microsoft was for their Monopoly. Just like that type of thing. And then they talked to Eric Schmidt about if he would get a government job, because I think he's on the... He's a director of... he has something to do with the Obama administration, I know that. He helped push... He was helped in the election last year, and he said he probably would again, but he didn't know... He didn't know what it would be this year. But I think we kind of strayed away from Apple there.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Which is fine.
Yeah, so a little bit, but kind of the most recent news also confirming different services that are being released, that the hush-hush Apple data center in North Carolina finally made it on Google Earth.
Yes.
Which is interesting that Apple has basically been able to strong-arm them and be like, hey, you can't, like...
What makes you wonder how much...
Give away our location of this...
Yeah, I mean, as much as they... Not
compete
well, yeah, as much as they compete, because I what I had read was Google and Apple had a fairly decent standing relationship, but then Apple put out the iPhone and Google decided to step on their toes and put out the Android, and that's when the ties were kind of severed,
right.
Yeah, and so it makes me wonder, like, how much, I mean, I feel like there's still some good ties there, because I feel like, I mean, if I was Google and I really didn't like Apple, I'd be like, hey guys, check out what Apple's building out in the middle of nowhere. You guys should, you know, everybody should go check it out. This is where it's at. You can see a picture of it here, you know. But the fact that, I mean, a data center takes how long to build? I mean, it's nothing you do overnight. That's a year plus project,
yeah.
You know. So the fact that they kept it out of sight for over a year and then it just pops up is pretty funny.
And today there was pictures Apple Insider got from inside. They're setting up WWDC, and they showed a picture of what the clear iCloud symbol looked like, which was a little cloud in a box. kind of how Apple does everything, I think. Like their little boxy whatever. But it's also said that they finally signed the fourth and final of the major labels today, so that everything should be a go. And even more rumors are swirling now that first it was said, I mean, people think now that it's only going to be music you buy on iTunes, which would kind of make it pointless to a lot of people, I think, especially people with bigger collections, because that's just weird. And then they also think now that it'll be free at first and then cost $25 a year. Is the most recent rumor I saw. But, I mean, obviously it's hard to say what is really going to happen with it until Monday.
I mean, Monday will be the... I mean, everybody's looking forward to it. Even I am, honestly. I mean, I've clearly touted my ways as not being an Apple fanboy at all. But the one thing... I mean, we've already decided that we're going to... Mike already has... Google Music, you've already got the Amazon Cloud. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, we'll do some testing and kind of get a feel for all of them and give you guys a review, you know, what we like about each service, what we don't like about each service. But I know, I mean, one of the rumors was for the iCloud was, I mean, when you buy a song on iTunes and you go to quote-unquote upload it, I mean, it goes, oh, you know, Pat's uploading, I don't know, Garth Brooks.
Because I'm an avid Garth Brooks collection.
Yeah, okay, what, you want cake? Cake?
I'll take cake, yeah.
All right, so cake. Pat's uploading some cake, and Apple will go, okay, we're just going to link you to our songs on our server, so you don't actually need to upload them. And that's the biggest downfall I have right now with my Google Music is I've got over 10,000 songs in my iTunes, and we checked just before tonight, or just before we went live, and I'm just about to 3,000 songs now.
And I'm at like 28,000, and I've been doing it at night.
Yeah, and I turned my computer off during the day, but I've let it run three nights in a row, you know, and it's like, ugh, I don't want to have to. And I mean, once you get the initial chunk of music up, then it'll be, I mean, nothing when you're uploading, you know, an album at a time.
It'll seem like nothing anyway, especially compared to the fact that I'm going to be spending weeks doing this. Right. It seems like, but now.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, I think it's a very, very important feature that you need for a cloud service, that just given that our upload speeds are not the same as our download speeds, all of us have at some point some asynchronous type of bandwidth. And for Apple to be able to be like, oh, we already have that music file in our servers somewhere, you have it on your computer, why do we need to just transmit it over to the wire?
Yeah, I mean, and I think part of that has to do with, I mean, if this rumor is true and that's what happens, the big key to that was them getting all of the record labels to sign off and give them kind of the A-OK.
It's getting the permission around the copyright laws is essentially what it is.
Right.
I mean, becoming a streaming service, it's a combination of a streaming and cloud service, I think. I mean, especially if they only do what they have in iTunes or what you buy in iTunes and still allow you to upload the other stuff, I think that'll make a big difference. They also talked about, like, they'll just scan your library and take everything that they already have and allow you to just have access to stream what you have in your library, while, and even possibly at a better music source than what you have it on your computer as,
yep,
giving you the highest quality, which would be a nice as well, but we'll see again on Monday what happens.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's what sucks about the whole, that's the tech world to a T, basically, is like, what are they going to do? You know, it's all hearsay. But yeah, I know the one thing, that's how, with Apple going and wanting to get all the record labels to sign on, I think a big part of that is because instead of me uploading my actual song, my physical file that I've either uploaded or ripped from my CD and uploading it, I mean, they can verify to a point that I own that. Whereas Apple, I mean, it turns into a total it's one file, just, you know, tens of thousands of people linking to it, which is sort of, I think, one of the things that the whole record label industry is kind of frowned upon, is because they can, I mean, when you think about it, they would consider it, you know, file sharing, a breach of license agreement, because one file, but
yeah,
10,000 people listening to it.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem, is that there's been basically no services like this,
mm-hmm,
to where they can write laws that are particular to this type of agreement that you're, some type of copyright agreement. So, I mean, I think there'll be some groveling at first, you know, over, like, the technicalities, but at some point the record label's got to be like, well, we're not really losing money here.
It's, yeah, just... Well, I think part of it is the record labels are really starting to chomp at the bit and getting greedy, because they've been losing, I mean, they've been losing money. So, I mean, well, they claim, at least, you know, due to people pirating.
And by losing money, that means not making as much. Not,
right,
not actually losing profit, just, right, not making what they're used to.
Yeah.
And I think it'll end up being, I think it's a lot like TV wasn't ready for the internet. I mean, the whole writer's strike was over, okay, we wrote all these laws before the internet was, before streaming became really mainstream.
No pun intended.
And then, I mean, all of a sudden they're like, well, we're not going to give anybody any of the rights we're doing online, because that's not written in. And they're like, well, then we're going to go on strike. I mean, until they worked out the money from their ads online as well as playing on TV.
Yep.
And I think this is just another step in that same process, where it's just changing and the laws aren't written necessarily for this kind of thing. So they don't know what to do with it. So they're like, well, we're going to sue everybody.
Exactly. And it's hard for anybody. I mean, how quickly the internet has progressed in the last, I mean, you could even say, last 2 years, I mean, has been unreal, you know. And I don't think, I mean, I don't know if part of it's because the music industry is just, you know, full of old people that are kind of stuck in, well, back in the day, this is what we did, you know. I don't know if they're not keeping up or what their problem is, but.
Well, I don't even think it's necessarily that. I think it's just them not wanting to have to rewrite everything and change the way they do. Well, I guess it's kind of the same thing. Not changing the way they do business. I mean, they all got the digital downloads. I mean, that came around and it was a little sketchy at first. I mean, we had the whole peer-to-peer networking thing started. We had Napster. We had
LimeWire, Kazaa, BearShare.
And slowly but surely, I mean, they'll start getting shut down. And now that it's available on iTunes and it's easy, and Amazon, I'm not going to say iTunes, but let's be honest, they're the biggest seller.
Yeah.
I think it's just so much easier that people, the whole thing was it was convenient to get files that way before, where now it's convenient enough. Just like they say Netflix is killing, you know, pirating that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's convenient for people to get over a stream, and they're not going to go out and pirate it. They want the convenience. They're not looking to, it's not like they're out to screw over the, you know, record company or the television company or whatever it may be. They're just looking for convenience to get yep. something right to them.
Well, it's even, I mean, I say always, but this is only our second episode. just like, I've been watching all the old Dignations, and they're very adamant on the old ones about how much they pirate, they being Kevin Rose and Alex Albrecht. But it's like, it's not, they're not pirating, I don't want to say they're not pirating software, but they're mainly downloading TV shows, because there's not, there. I mean, in 2005 seems too long ago. Crap. I think it's 2005, though.
For what?
Dignation, when they started. 2005. 300 episodes, 52 weeks. That's
six. Seems about 6 years.
Yeah.
So 2005.
Yeah, 2005. There wasn't, you know, Netflix. There wasn't Hulu. You know, the way you catch up on a show, unless you, if you don't have a DVR, is you either pirate it or you wait for the season DVDs to come out, and that's it. Well, I think they had said, I know iTunes had all the episodes available also for like $2 or something like that. But it's like, even that, I mean, if I'm going to watch a show, I'm not going to, that I could watch for free. Like, say I missed last week's episode of Family Guy. I'm not going to pay $2 for it. I would much rather just go online and find somewhere that's either streaming it or that I can download it.
Well, and
I think
that pushed the networks into pushing their streaming services as well.
Oh, definitely.
Right now, I think every major broadcasting channel, you can get like the last 5 episodes that they played online for free. But they put their ads into it, so they're still making money, and I guess you could say everybody's winning in that
meaning.
Sense. I mean, you know, the industry is still getting its money, people are getting the convenience of streaming it, and everybody's happy.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I'm happy.
Yeah.
Well, my cable bill is substantially lower with...
Well, I mean, and at this point, I don't even have cable. I mean, between Netflix and what I can get online, and, you know, internet, yeah. I don't even need it.
Yeah.
There's really no need.
I hated it at first. Because I went from my old apartment before I got married to this one, and I couldn't... I mean, it's one thing when you're splitting cable and internet costs between 5 guys total, you know, but going to this, I was like, I really don't watch all that much TV, and what I do want to watch, I'm sure I could find online. And at first, you know, I mean, I don't watch any of the shows I even used to watch anymore, but I still think, I mean, the biggest thing a cable company could do is get a selection kind of service,
and,
you know?
And that's kind of the rumor going around, is that, actually, there's a buddy of mine that I play basketball with, he works for Comcast, and what they're trying to do now is... they're trying to make a selection-based service where, okay, I just want HBO, but I don't want basic cable, so you don't have that additional charge tacked onto your bill.
It's smart.
Yeah, no, and it's going in that whole, this is what I want to watch, when I want to watch.
Yep.
I really think, other than, like, you know, news broadcastings and, like, live events, that everyone is kind of, you know, at least the younger generation is in a, I want to do it on my own time.
Yep.
They don't want to sit around Monday at 7 p.m.
Well,
to watch House or
people's
whatever.
Time is, I don't want to say more valuable, but
they actually did a study that time was more valuable to more people than money.
Well, I believe it. I mean, I wanted to say, I don't feel like my time is more valuable than like my parents, because I mean, that's how they grew up. But we're in such a like a spoon-fed sort of zone now. I mean, like, where we can, I mean, if we want it, we can get it now. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to watch commercials anymore, you know?
I think it's because we know we can get it if we need it. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they're not, that's not the way they're used to doing things, isn't, well, if I can't get it on my TV, I'll just go on the internet and download it, or, oh, I have it on my DVR, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And I also think, though, that Comcast is gearing up to, I mean, the way they're pushing Xfinity, which they're pushing hard, I think, it's everywhere, and it has been since they initially started it.
Since day one.
And I mean, and that is pushing toward a get it when you want it on demand type service of what they have now. And I think it would only make sense that the next step of that is getting the channels you want when.
Yep.
I think the harder part about that is getting the channels in on it with them.
I think I'm sure like broadcast networks, they just get lumped into a package and now.
Well,
and
I think basically really,
and
now
a lot of them are all owned by the same company, I think too. Like, well, I own these eight companies, I'll give you these eight channels in that pack.
Yeah.
If you give us a good deal.
Well, and all they have to do is just figure out, you know, like, I mean, they really will have to start looking at per show, you know, how much do we want to make on, you know, like Mythbusters, we want to make X amount, but you know, they, instead of looking at how much per network, so to speak, is. But yeah, I'm all for it. That's what I'm totally waiting for, because when I buy, like, if I do get choose to get cable again, I don't want Oprah Network. I don't want, you know, I don't want crap. You know, I've got my, you know, five channels that I want. Give me my sports network, and ESPN, FSN, and
I agree. I mean, really, there's like four channels I would want, and all. I mean, really, but. That's just not the way it goes. You start out with like 50 in your basic cable pack, and it's like, I don't need 50 channels.
And there was, you know, kind of back in the day, it was like, geez, I have like hundreds of channels that like at my disposal, like all these channels, and that was like a selling point.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like the, it's kind of everything's kind of tipped upside down, and
well, because everything just plays reruns of CSI on it, and who wants to watch that all day?
Or you could be, or Two and a Half Men,
or Jersey Shore 24/7. I mean. It's turned into such a, I think the content is what is killing, I mean, it's just gone downhill, I think. I mean, that's just my opinion, though.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, times are changing in the interweb world.
It's streaming. When I want it.
And, well, that'll bring us to ISP issues, but.
Yeah, well, it's, they'll all have to sign. I'm sure, like, everybody's got to get together in, like, some big, huge conference room and go, okay, this is what we want to do. Are you on board? No? Okay. Too bad. I don't know.
Well, there could be a movement, too, with ISPs. There could be the municipal types fiber network setups that they do in other countries where the town will lay the fiber down and then you can choose between whatever ISP you want, and that way you kind of keep a it the open market,
kind of,
but then
open that's interesting.
Yeah, but it kind of levels the playing field, as where like Comcast has the last mile for a good majority of the, you know, the cities and the suburbs and a little bit in the country. But it just kind of just levels the playing field and gets away from, you know, hopefully just dumping off this whole data cap need, which is, I think, is just silly. I mean, obviously, like, with us at Comcast, 250 gig data cap, if you're just, like, a streaming user and an internet and whatever,
yeah,
it's not going to, you're not going to probably reach that cap, but.
I'd really like to know what we use a month, but.
It's just the idea that there's a cap.
Right.
Like. Oh yeah, you can pay $70 a month, but you can only download this much.
Well, just like with AT&T and I grandfathered into the unlimited data plan, like I could go down. I could save $5 a month by going down to 2 gigs. But the fact, even though I don't think I ever use that, but just the fact of knowing that I would be, you know, contained to in a sense, bothers me, and so I won't do it. I don't want
and
to
I envy your grandfathered in data plan, because I'm in that contained 2 gig package.
Have you used it though?
No,
I'm not. Yeah, not even.
I would pay $5 more a month to get unlimited.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's just, it's like.
And then for the first month, I'd go crazy, but then.
I don't know. I mean, there's only so much you can do. That's how I feel. I mean, caps, it makes sense, sort of. I mean, I can't see us really at users peeking out. Carriers networks that where they would have to impose some sort of cap, because I mean all it is for their equipment is an initial cost, and then after they make that initial cost back, it's all just straight profit for them. I mean, there's really it's just ridiculous to me that they would even think of putting a cap on it, but that's the way of the world, it seems. Also,
anything they can do to, I mean, people say they're just being proactive because everything is going to such a streaming service that they think you know, eventually they're going to need it because eventually we are going to bog down your network. I mean, you hear now everyone says, oh, we only use that. I mean, 99% of our customers aren't even, you know, touched by that. It's just that 1% that's a super user that's killing bandwidth for everyone else. But
I say ostracize them. Find them, locate them, take them off the network.
But I mean,
no, just kidding. No, I think everything just kind of gets leveled out anyways. I mean, obviously, yeah, the data cap's there, but like that one user for like cross connects on different like backbone providers, like how much is that really kicking up their utility costs?
How much can 1% really be affecting your network? Is it that bad to begin with?
Well, yeah. I know like when I worked for Genesis as an ISP, we had issues with one family out of Isani that it would, I mean, they would literally just peg our radios, and I mean it was like a main link too, so I think that was one of our 15 gig up 15 gig down links, and they would just peg it on both sides of the spectrum. But it was because we ended up having to go out there and talk to the guy. I mean, we talked to him multiple times over the phone, and we finally went out there, and this kid had like a full-on server room in this house, and
running video games? Or?
Yeah, he was hosting. He was hosting video games there, like multiple, not TAC ops. What's the Counter Strike? Multiple Counter Strike servers from his house. So he's got. I mean, He never said how many people he had connecting, but I mean, there was a server rack, and I want to say there was 15 servers inside it.
That's hilarious.
And it's like, jeez, the freaking whiz.
I never even knew you guys had a data plan that was that high.
He said it was because that he had constant LAN parties at his house via Xbox.
That wouldn't make sense, though.
And he paid, I mean, it was like a $200 a month bill he was paying us for this premier service. So he had a dedicated link from us and everything.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it was ridiculous. That was funny.
What he's paying for? Why can't you even let him use it?
Yeah.
Well, can you tell him? I mean,
Yeah, we told him he had to stop because it's in part of Genesis' contract is not, he can't host.
Right. It would be like if we set up servers here and start hosting websites.
Exactly. Which
we are not doing. Right,
we're now not doing currently.
But
yeah. So that was Apple, so iCloud service. Oh, that's awesome.
That's the one thing that we're bad at. Okay. I mean, we can just go down the line here. I mean, iOS 5, there's going to be... They're going to talk about the release of iOS 5.
Well, those are two separate things.
Oh, iOS, you said.
Yeah, iOS. Yep.
Gotcha.
And then, yeah, 10.7 Lion is also the next
operating
system for Mac.
I guess we'll pick one. But we'll start with iOS 5, I guess. But it's looking like, you know, they've actually officially released that it will be iOS 5, which before they just said it would be the future of iOS, which doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to the... I mean, it could have been, you know, 4.4. They're only on 4.2 right now, but neither here nor there. But I think the biggest thing everyone's hoping for is a new notification system. Right now, if you get a text, and I looked last night because I was curious, there's no way to turn off your text notification. You can make it just show the no preview or whatever, but I could be wrong. So if someone knows, they can let us know. But when you're in anything and that you get that text message, it automatically pops up. The only thing it doesn't actually pop the window up in is when you're already in the messaging app, in which then it just shows you your notification, like your little back bar, yeah.
So when you get a text message, it actually like pops up.
There's a little transparent box that says someone's name, and well, mine just says text message because I don't have a preview showing. But
does
it
do that
it
like
show...
even if you're in the middle of like say your web browsing? Does it pop up
yep.
over? Oh, that's
over everything, and that's people's biggest complaints, and so they think that the biggest thing will be a redesigned notification system.
That makes sense because yeah, the, like Android with mine, it has. I mean, when I get a text message, it just if I'm actively using a window, it has the taskbar on the top, and it'll show me like a little mail icon, and it'll like sort of scroll through the text just in that bar, which is always there. So I mean, it's not like it's blocking anything of mine.
And then
so that would be annoying.
That would
be nice.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, because I remember when I was just using my phone to stream Netflix, and I just use like the Fall Asleep Tour or whatever, I just throw it on the nightstand, and then Mike would send me a text mid-stream of Netflix, and he would stop it. It would interrupt
and then it would pause, whatever, if you're watching YouTube.
Damn it, Mike. Yeah, it would pause, and then I'd have to be like, answer your whatever question you had, and then like resume, and then you'd send another text message which would stop the stream.
Right, it gets very frustrating sometimes.
So no, that's really cool.
And so I mean, and was I used Sidekicks before I had my iPhone, and I mean that was the way it was there too. I mean, a little thing would pop up, it would scroll across the top of your whatever bar, and that would be that. You know, you could go to it, you'd know it was there. There would be a little, like you said, an envelope on the top or whatever, and then you could go to it later. I mean, even with iOS right now, you can hit, you know, cancel, and it'll just go away, and you can go back to what you're doing, but it'll still stop whatever you're doing. It's really frustrating during games.
Oh, because I suppose. Because
most of them will automatically pause, and you have to, you know, unpause it to play again, but still the whole fact of the interruption is
annoying. It's one of those things, like, if you're in the middle of a game, and, like, you're in your groove, it's hard to get back in. Because I can remember playing, like, Tac Ops. And people could pause the server, and it's like I was just in the middle of scoping, and then you go to like get back into that groove, and it's totally crushed. So
yeah, those headshots, there's little windows for them.
Yeah, pretty much. unless you're playing 3.4, then there's big windows.
Oh yeah, I suppose.
So I think that's the main thing that people are hoping for, and I mean I think the last two years that. They've been announced. The people have wanted that as speculation, but I think this year will be. I mean, I think people have complained enough at this point that that will be it. I saw another thing. The thing I saw from TechCrunch was the push to Twitter button in your photo, in the actual photo thing. I think another big thing that the iPhone is behind on is being connected to everything, pushing to Facebook, pushing to Twitter, whatever you use.
So is there something
right now? I mean, you can take pictures from the feed, like you could, you know, but it'll be a direct button. Like when you go into your picture, you're looking at pictures, or right after you take it, you can just hit send to Twitter, which Twitter also recently launched their photo application to embed it in itself. Before, if you use Twitter, you have to use TwitPic or YFrogs or
Instagram or,
well, that's a whole nother service, but Instagram. But, I mean, all these third-party, I mean, some of them are built specifically for Twitter, but Twitter's kind of just taking it itself, and they're trying to make their video and picture search better as well by, there's actually a pretty cool little video, I don't know if anybody saw it, but a hashtag is worth 1,000 pictures, is what their little,
interesting,
instead of searching for, and I mean, you could search, put a hashtag with a picture, and then search that way with forum, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Yeah, it's never mind. It'd be off topic. Just talking about hashtags.
Oh.
But anyways, neither here nor there.
But yeah, but otherwise iOS 5, I guess I'm not really sure what'll come with it. So I mean, we'll see what happens. What, Pat?
I am smirking.
Geek Squad, all right, so
really?
I don't know who that is. Anyways, so that's iOS, and they're also announcing the new Lion coming from Snow Leopard.
Yep.
Which we had.
We touched on it briefly, but
we didn't really know much.
Right. Yeah. As I've researched it since then, I guess. But I know some of the things that look pretty cool coming up in that. I mean, because they've released a number of developer packages already, so a lot of people. I mean, there's not as many surprises that'll be coming out of that because people have been using it already, as far as with developers, I guess, mainly. But they're doing something called Mission Control, which is kind of hers. No, Launchpad is the one I'm thinking of. Launchpad, which is like kind of like hitting a button or an icon, and it kind of brings all your apps up in one place. Like, basically, it turns your desktop into a big folder is what it does. And it shows them lined up in the same way they're lined up on the iPad, and you can have folders within that. Another thing they're doing is Mission Control, which is, right now they have a thing called Exposé, which I can hit a button on your Mac, and it kind of shows you everything that's up all at once in their kind of little corners, but with Mission Control, it brings up, it'll show all your Safari in one spot, or all your, you know, if you have multiple Word documents up, or whatever you may have together instead of...
A Word doc in Apple?
Yeah.
Oh.
I have Word for Mac.
I know. It just seems... It always makes me laugh that... They're two separate entities, but
they're frenemies.
They have to be.
It's like the Google exec when they were, you know, demoing the
right
NFC at All Things D, and she was using her MacBook for Google Offers. So, you know, who knows? They also have some other things. They have a new autosave feature, which is kind of like constantly saving as you go.
Everything, or
it seemed to be everything. I don't know how in depth it'll go, but
yeah,
kind of a take on Time Machine, I think. Which I guess could be good or bad. I mean, I know I've done things and like, man, I wish I wouldn't have changed that and end up just canceling without saving and reopening it where I was before. But
haven't you heard of
undo? Z? But you can only undo so far sometimes.
Oh, you need a Windows machine. Then it, like, Photoshop keeps a history of all actions, so you could
Photoshop would anyway then,
because you can be in like
that'd be 300, Photoshop.
You can be in 300 actions, and you can do Control Z. Then you have to do Alt Control Z, and just keep on going back forever. Or you can look at the history and delete just one action and keep everything else.
So it would probably be a lot like that then.
So that would be a cool feature. I don't know how you would do that. Like with Photoshop, it tells you like what actions you're doing at least.
Right.
Whereas like if you're in a Word doc, you typed the. Would you like to undo the?
You typed H. You typed E. Oh, and then they also have. I know I saw resume, which is like, you know, if you had to restart or something, it'll just kind of bring everything back up that you had right where it was. Instead of you having to reload everything. I mean, it's little things, and I know there's more gestures coming. They use a lot of, I mean, the newer MacBooks have a bigger trackpad, so they do a lot of gestures, and now the iMacs, I know, are shipping right now, where if you don't want a mouse, you can get a trackpad with it. They sell trackpads separately, and I think eventually they're going to be leaning more toward the touch gestures and away from the mouse.
So instead of, like, You could actually use just point your finger and then drag the cursor.
Right. Instead of using a mouse. Yeah. It's just like having the trackpad. I mean, you can buy them separately.
Because your wrist is less on the desk. You're just pointing around.
I don't know.
Ergonomic benefit.
But because I know they have a lot of gestures that they use for the newer MacBooks. There's a lot of different things you can do, like, you know, with four fingers and three fingers, a lot of different little tricks that they have that are working right now. And that was one of the other things I was hoping they put into iOS 5 is with when iOS 4 came out in the developer pack, they had four finger and five finger gestures for the iPad, but they never actually released it in the actual launch, and it looked pretty cool, like being able to slide through applications with four finger swipes instead of having to double click go up to your multitasking bar and go through what you have open. Well, and also being able to pinch out to go to the home screen.
Well, there was like rumors back where Steve Jobs wanted to eliminate even the home button. You would use like a five finger gesture or something to.
And they had incorporated it in iOS 4's developer thing, but they never turned it on in the actual release. For whatever reason, they held it back. So maybe that'll surface in iOS 5. So I mean, but again. All will be released on Monday. I'm sure it'll be a good part of our talk next week, too. So
very much so. So we can keep rolling on. Maybe just transition over to Windows 8.
Windows 8. That was... Yeah, they announced it yesterday afternoon. I think they... I didn't catch if they officially are calling it Windows 8. Because I know prior to them announcing, they were calling it Windows Next also. So I haven't heard if they're officially calling it Windows 8 yet, but they did some demo. Oh, I'll let you start it off because you watched more videos, I think, than I did.
Oh,
I
just watched one. The D9. Yeah, the D9 demo that they had was pretty impressive. They were showing a basically, what they had up on the stage wasn't just a touchscreen or like a tablet PC. It was a touchscreen, but it was tied into a computer that was hidden underneath the desk. And they said during the demo that it was just a run-of-the-mill basic machine, but I couldn't believe if you saw the DVI cable coming off the back of that it was more than just your standard desktop and probably some, you know, mid to high-end graphics card or something. But no, they're showing how they're going to pretty much cram Windows 8 into a tablet, and they built a interface which is more similar to a tablet type interface, where they have like these different blocks and the live blocks, very similar to like what they have with the Windows Mobile 7.
The WinMofos.
So very similar to that, but I mean, very cool. Like they're demoing. You log in by swiping up, and to switch applications, you basically just swipe from left to right. They incorporated, since it was running a full version of Windows, they're incorporating some of the snap-in features with Windows 7, so you could run two different windows side by side. Since it is a full version of Windows, you also had access to all of Office, which I think is a huge benefit,
mm-hmm.
Just for the enterprise side of it. You'd have access to everything in the Office suite. And then on top of that, to add, you know, to your Active Directory,
yes.
Those are all possibilities. And yes, since there's already built in Wi-Fi, enterprise level Wi-Fi with using Active Directory username and passwords. There's this kind of this sweet integration that's just almost there. But I mean, the demo is very impressive. They were running a video, like a high definition video on the screen. I was watching it through a stream, so I couldn't really grasp the clarity of it, but from what they're saying, it was really good. And the fact that kind of the other cool feature is that when they're swiping in from like Twitter to the video stream again, the window itself was a little small, like kind of a preview window, but the video kept playing,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was kind of neat.
Yeah, that's like, I think, I don't know if they stole this from Firefox or not, but that's one cool thing, like in Windows 7, when you have all of your windows minimized on the bottom, Firefox, like you can see kind of on mine, where it brings up it, like when you hover over the Firefox icon, if you have multiple tabs open, it'll show you every tab that's open, or not every tab, it'll show you every window that you have mm-hmm. open. And if you have a video playing, it will, I mean, it's a shrunk down version of my window, and you can actually see the video playing from there. So like when Google was doing their demo a couple weeks ago for
their IO conference.
Yeah, for the NFC, I mean, half the time while I was at work, I had it on my second computer, and I just had the mouse sitting over it, so it wasn't blatantly obvious that I'm watching a video. You know, I could see, I mean, granted, it was only a, you know, inch wide screen or little image, but at least you could kind of get a general idea of what
perception,
they're
what's going
doing.
On.
Yeah, what they're doing.
That's cool.
But yeah, Windows, it looked awesome. It looked very smooth for it only being beta. I mean, they didn't say what release it is. I had done some looking last week, and I think they've announced that they've had three different beta releases out that they've published to, you know, like certain companies. Like, you guys test this for us. None have leaked yet, but I know the one thing that they had said about their tablets was that they're going to be, what's the chip called? The chip's called, I think, ARM.
ARM chip.
Yeah, the ARM chip. So they have vowed that they want instant on, instant off tablets. I mean, no loading. They don't, you know, they don't want people sitting and waiting for, I mean, my computer's pretty quick, but it still takes, you know,
40 seconds.
Yeah, I think for fully boot, it's like 40 seconds now, you know? I mean, and granted, I've had the OS installed on there for a while, so, I mean, a clean OS would be quicker, but still, being able to say that their goal is an always on, or not always on, but like an instant on, that's very cool.
So, I mean, the demo also included other tablets. They also were showing off an IBM laptop that had a touchscreen monitor on it, which I thought was cool. It's kind of more of like a novel type thing because you still have a keyboard and mouse, but then you have the ability to still touch on the screen. So, I mean, it has some benefits to it. I think it's more of a luxury, but.
Did you see the phone that they have that will integrate with a tablet? It's oh, I wish
Was it an Asus?
I don't know.
Pad
I
phone?
what?
Pad phone?
Pad phone.
Asus pad
The
phone.
pad phone. Guy at work was telling me about it, Todd. He told me about, well, I'd heard of the pad phone and I knew what its basics were, but I didn't know that there was any specs out on it. So I went out and looked, and it's really interesting.
The demo for it was actually really funny if I could find it. Like, it was this guy. Like, yeah, I'll have to find it. But it was like the it was the tablet was ringing, and then he took the phone out of it essentially, and he answered it. But it was like this Japanese. It was in I think it was in Japan, and he was
Ah,
just
Moshi Moshi.
yeah. It was like he was just like this whole dancing and like it was weird. But the idea is cool. I mean.
Yeah, that did you see it at all, Pat? Oh
No.
yeah, so it's I mean, picture your iPhone and you've got your iPad there. There's a slot in the back of the iPad, and you actually dock your phone inside it. And I believe that the pad then uses the phone as its central processor also.
That would make sense. I mean, the pad itself is
It's a
essentially nothing but a screen and
yeah,
a
it's just
taking
an extension
speakers maybe.
basically.
Okay, so docking
Yeah,
station.
but it was really cool because I mean it's an interesting concept. I think it would be smart for, I don't know if Apple would get into that. I mean, because they're all about in kind of single devices, you know, not integrating multiple things
Plus, you'd
like
think,
that.
I mean, that's got to take away from your profit. You're just selling one pro thing instead of
Right. Well, but they could make money if the iPad was just a dummy and you forced people to buy iPhones to use the iPad. Oh man. Steve, jump on that one.
We're gonna need some kickback,
Yeah,
though. Well, they also have the, there's another phone that has that docks inside the computer. It's got like the laptop like locks into. It's kind of like a netbook. They call it kind of like a superbook, I guess. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I don't know what company makes it, but essentially, the phone docks into a laptop. It's the same idea, but with a laptop. But I know that the add-on for the phone, because the phone's I mean, it's a generally used phone, but like. Get the add-on itself is like $500.
jeez.
Like, and you might as well just buy a.
Oh, the Motorola Atrix.
Yeah,
Is that what
there
you're
you
talking
go.
about?
Yep.
Yep. I heard a lot of griping about that on
Well, it's
news
like,
feeds.
why wouldn't you just buy a laptop at that point? Like,
No doubt. For $500, I mean, just $500 is a decent laptop. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with the
Windows 8.
Windows 8 stuff. I mean, this is the first demo, 'cause I know they had said they weren't sure if they were gonna release it last night. I mean, there was speculation that they might, but they had more thought that it was gonna be at the
They have an event coming in the fall?
yeah, and now that yeah they have one in September,
But now that, I don't know,
and
it's
now
kind of
there's
like dropping off the radar, like it may or may not happen. The
Well,
event itself, I mean, I'm sure the
oh no,
tablet will still be
it's still
released.
planned because now they think, I mean, since these were, I mean, this is the initial preview,
Oozes.
basically. This is the initial preview of Windows 8. They said, I mean, since I mean, this is what they're showing off now. It can only get better now come September. So, yeah, that's all I got on Windows 8. It'd be cool.
Take a little break and thank our sponsor.
Yeah, who do?
I
Oh,
don't know what it
I
is.
could make up my sponsors like I had earlier.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's take a break and
Glenn's
thank our
Garage Doors.
sponsors. Who? Huh? What'd you say? Lens
I
Garage?
said Glenn's Garage Doors.
Glenn's Garage Doors. Dr. Pepper
Boats and
for
Hoes.
Fuel and Pat. Boats and Hose and Jeremiah Weed, because it's good. Excellent. So I think Do you have anything else? Otherwise, I'll talk about a little. Do you want to do an app of the week, or do you want to wait for the end?
Well, no. We'll start that next week. I'll put a post up this week.
Okay. So
unless we're gonna talk about Zarly, but
no, then I'll just jump right into. We'll finish with that stuff then, kind of like the chitter chatter kind of stuff then.
I feel like there's something else.
Amazon.
The Lady Gaga thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, another big thing in the news, like I had said earlier, was Amazon. So last week, Amazon sold Lady Gaga's new album for 99 cents on their online store. Not that they have a real store. But the first day that they did it, there was so much response for it that it took down their servers, just bogged them down, extremely slow. So they did it a second day. I don't know if it was 400,000 albums was the first day or if that was total.
It says over the 2 days of the offer, because they did it on the Monday that it came out, and then they did do it again on either Wednesday or Thursday because it had been such a huge hit and because it had killed the servers, that it was 440,000 downloads of the 2 weeks or the 2 days at 99 cents. Which she did end up selling 1.1 million in the first week, which put her up to number, what did we figure, like 9-ish on the fastest selling albums.
Wait a minute, did she kick out Nickelback? Did they get dropped off?
But let's see. They are saying that Amazon would have lost about $8 or $9 on every sale, because that they essentially would owe the publisher about that much for each album, and they're only making 99 cents. But it is also a huge push for them to get their cloud service. I mean, everybody that bought it, you could have got, because with their cloud service, you get 5 gigs for free. But if you buy any one album, MP3 album from the Amazon store, you get upgraded to 20 gigs for free. And so I think a lot of people used it just for that, whether or not they liked Lady Gaga album for 99 cents.
U2 would be a good example of that.
Right. Put the same thing up. So, Amazon lost. They think that, well, Universal, I guess, Amazon, easily like $4 million.
Yeah, yeah. I know. The article says over $3 million, but I think the article that I'd read this afternoon said like $7.30 per right. album that they yeah. sold. You know, so that's a lot of money to yeah. be, you know. To push toward, I mean, that's a large advertisement cost for a service. I mean,
I don't know that. I mean, I guess this is just what people are saying too. I mean, if there could have been a deal worked out with Universal, I mean, Amazon doesn't necessarily have to pay them. Maybe, I mean, the Amazon hasn't released anything officially, neither is Universal or Lady Gaga. So I mean, it's hard to.
Well, I know there
hard
has
to say what's true or what the deal was. I'm sure they took a hit. But I think for them it was
well, and
easily worth
they
it.
Would have to work with Universal also on this deal. It's nothing that I mean,
not
they,
specifically Lady Gaga,
but, right? But with the label, right. I mean they would have to say, you know, we're gonna do it for this much, because I know we see that in like when we deal, you know, I look at four wheeler parts quite often, and you know, certain sponsors you can only go so low with the price before there's problems, because then. It's I don't know if it's something with fair market or what, but I mean you can't undercut other sponsors big time,
right?
So, yeah, it'd be interesting. It's funny because they definitely got their name out there. That's for sure. Amazon selling.
For sure, and I mean I think it helped Lady Gaga's album sales so skyrocket
in flight.
No, I was trying to find that top 10 list that we were looking at before, where it was like the first, like within a week, the fastest selling album. And that was the one where it was like insane.
NSYNC was like number one and two.
But then I think she was like etching in.
I think number 10 was around a million, and I think it was like Usher or something.
Usher, yeah.
And so if she sold 1.1 million in the first week, she'd be pushing number 9, number 8. I mean, they're all pretty close in there. I think number 1 was only like 1.3 or 4 million. I mean, they're all...
The spread is very narrow.
It's, yeah, but definitely up there.
And then the other big for you gaming nerds out there, the other big thing announced this week from Activision was Call of Duty series. They are Modern Warfare 3 is going to be coming out in November. They're staying on par with their one series release a year. And they've been keeping it separated, different developers working on different projects, like Black Ops. Black Ops was part of, oh crap, let me So Black Ops was part of Activision, and Treyarch was that one, and then like Modern Warfare 2 was Activision, and Infinity Ward was the main game developer on that one. So they've been keeping the series tied between two separate companies doing the projects, so they've been able to keep on pushing out stuff. Anyways, they have announced, I think they just announced yesterday, or no, a couple days ago, that they are building an online service called Call of Duty Elite, which is essentially a service that they want to be able to tie social aspects, so you can kind of connect. I mean, it'd be similar to, for those of you that are familiar with like Xfire or Steam, where you can add friends on there, you can see what they're doing, see what kind of, I mean, Xfire, you can't see what kind of awards you've done, but this kind of gives a central place for everybody at PC, Xbox, and PS3 to view rankings of other players. There's planning on being different tournaments. Like you can do kind of skill tests, because I know in, was it the first Modern Warfare, just Call of Duty 4, they had, I mean, like these little kind of training ops that you could do, you know, running through a oh crap, with like an urban warfare kind of obstacle course, you know, and doing times and stuff like that.
It's like
So
boot camp
yeah,
or like,
exactly. So
yeah.
stuff like that. And but the one thing that they've said is it's going to be a free service, but they're looking at tying in a paying service into it. So if you pay X amount a month, you can get, you know, these extra benefits, you know, whether it's extra gameplay trailers or, you know, extra little perks within the game. And the three or four, I've read, I think, four articles now about it, and the articles are all pretty interesting. I mean, I'm neither for or against it really, but the users' comments out there is what's been just hilarious reading. I mean, there are so many people out there that are just completely frustrated that the first-person shooter market is going to something like this, you know, because and it's primarily the people playing Xbox, because they're already paying a monthly fee
For Xbox
to,
Live.
yeah, to play on Xbox Live. They don't want to have to be paying another X amount a month to have this, you know, premier service. But I mean, nobody knows what this premier service is gonna do, so that,
Or cost.
right.
Or.
But they feel like that it's Activision, it's kind of their way of just, I mean, Black Ops, or Modern Warfare 2 broke all sorts of sales records for games. Black Ops broke all of those records for total sales for those games. So I mean, they have the market share, and they feel like it's just their way of trying to weasel more money out of players. So it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. I don't care. I love the Call of Duty series, and if it's $5 a month, I would probably pay it to have I mean, depending on what the perk is
And see,
of getting it.
and they'll keep it low like that because people pay it, and it's something that even once you start, if it becomes a recurring fee, it's not enough to make you really get up and cancel it, because you're like, well, maybe I'll play it in a couple of days.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, $5 per person isn't really that much, but I mean, for a person, but once they start adding them all up, I mean, they're gonna be making a killing. And I mean, I think I heard also that they would be, you know, giving out maps and stuff, which people do pay for on Xbox Live now. I mean, you pay for a new map pack, you have to buy points to pay for it. So, I mean, really, you end up saving the money somewhere else, sort of, but I guess either way. I mean, we'll see what they really do with it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm neither for or against it. I'm just kind of chilling, waiting to see what happens. But I know a lot of people on the PC side are saying, you know, F Call of Duty, we're just going to wait. We're just going to wait for Battlefield 3 instead anyways, because the graphics are better, the sound is better, the maps are bigger. Instead of having Call of Duty right now, the max players you can have is 32, and the max players on PC for Battlefield 3 is 64 players. It's, yeah, I will be purchasing both, I won't lie.
Is there midnight releases for both of those?
I guarantee it. Yeah, I will be. I've already.
I thought we talked about it last week. We're gonna live broadcast.
Yeah, we're gonna stream from. Well,
you stream it from there.
Yeah, I already told Lydia. I mean, the last 2 years for my birthday, I've got the last two Call of Duties. Went to the midnight release. It's out. It's November 8th, so it's a week after.
I'm serious about live streaming it too.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Yeah, no, that's my birthday gift to myself. I buy the new Call of Duty and I take the day off from work for the day after the midnight release, so get home 12:30, install the game on. So that puts us right around our hour mark too, kind of.
All right, there's just one thing I'm gonna throw out real quick then.
Okay, better be quick.
All right, so today at the All Things D conference, AT&T's Ralph De La Vega, like, I guess I don't know exactly who he is, but the higher up at AT&T was on. And they were, you know, questioning him about their LTE network, of course, about the merger of T-Mobile, blah, 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 blah. March 31st was the last day to file complaints against the merger, which Sprint did heavily, mind you. I mean, it's kind of funny reading what he had said. I mean, they asked him questions about, oh, don't you think that you guys are cutting out all the competitors? And he had said, well, there's a lot of little competitors in a lot of different markets. I mean, in Los Angeles, there's like 9 different carriers, he was trying to say. And they're like, well, that's such a small amount that, I mean, honestly, your only competitor will be Verizon. And they also kind of pushed him to say, well, don't you think you're going to push Sprint out? But, you know, he's like, oh, Sprint's doing very well for themselves. And just kept kind of playing it off, like, whatever. But when the thing I thought was funny, well, the thing that bothered me was I saw an article today that said that AT&T, their 4G won't be comparable to Verizon for 4 years. Because in the interview, he said in 4 years, 4G will be indistinguishable between the two. That doesn't mean that it'll take them 4 years to make theirs. It just means at that point, it'll all be the same. I think it was kind of taken out of context in that article, and it just kind of got me going. So I just thought I'd get that off my chest. Because just the way people read into things, like, that's not what he said at all. He didn't say, you know, we're not going to have 4G for 3 years. He just said that in 3 to 4 years, the two you won't be able to tell a difference between the two. And he said the reason they're kind of waiting on it was because they have the HSPA Plus right now, which was the fastest 3G, and I think they thought they're, you know, far enough along with that they're kind of leaving the 4G. I mean, they kind of waited a little longer to get into it. I think the other thing is they just figure, well, we're going to acquire T-Mobile, and they already have their 4G set up, so we'll just start piggybacking off what they already have and build our own then, and we'll have a bigger one anyway. But just that article I saw bothered me and led to that. So
yeah, I was talking about that today with some of the guys from Raptor Source, how, like, I still haven't fully decided what I want to do if the merger goes through, because I'm not a fan of AT&T, but I don't think Verizon is really where I want to go, and Sprint doesn't have phones that I want at this point. So it's like, just kind of stuck.
I mean, if you want to stay with Google, though, I think Sprint's kind of getting pretty buddy-buddy, but you want to get in on the NFC thing.
Get the Nexus S4G.
Yep.
But yeah, that's that, I guess.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about an app, or you just want to wait till next week?
Just as to promote an app that I like that I found recently. On
Android?
iPhone. I don't know if it's on Android. You could look real quick. It's called Zarly. It's Z AARLY, I believe. I'll double check.
Yeah, that's the one that you made me download.
Right. I told Patty to download it. It's Zarly. It's kind of like a location-based Craigslist type thing. It's like you could put something up there, like let's say I had a TV stand for sale and want $20. I could take a picture. It kind of like flags me as a point on the map, and people around me that use it can see it. And it's kind of nice. You can also say you need stuff that way, and people can contact you to get it to you. Someone was looking for they wanted their deck built for $1,500. There's, I mean, just random crap. I also seen someone wanted to buy a freezer. I seen someone wanted a P90X, or someone was willing to train runners for $30, or I think it was $1 a mile actually. Like, just crazy stuff like that. Like, it's kind of like it's kind of silly right now, but I think if more people used it, it would be really good. And if I can push it here, I guess why not.
Kind of like you said it was like a location-based Craigslist.
But I mean,
like a bulletin board.
Yeah, it's kind of like just a bulletin board, and they expire. Like you can set a time limit on things, and so.
How do you spell it again?
Zarly. Zarly. I think it just released for iPhone recently, so I kind of doubt it's on Android yet.
Yeah. No, nothing on there.
Not as a slam to Android, but just that's the way of the game right now.
It's in the works, probably.
If it's new, probably.
That'll be my app of the week this week, I guess, but.
Cool.
I'll put up a little thing on our website later, which if you didn't know what our website was, it's bleedgeek.com. Check it out.
And we're always looking for emails, some requests maybe, some discussion topics. So if you want to email us, email bleedgeek. It's fans@bleedgeek.com.
That is correct, Pat.
Yeah, and you can also, we have our Twitter, which is @bleedgeek. And then we have our personal
Twitters,
which is I'm @Crandall111.
Mine is Mike037.
And mine is HammockTime with a Y instead of an I.
And then, of course, we also have a voicemail if you want to call and leave us a message, which we would possibly play if it was appropriate enough and fitting, which our phone number is 406-79-GEEKS, which is 406-794-3357.
I think that's it.
Zarly.
Yeah. Zarly's main site is down right now, so this is the... so we must have crashed it with so much traffic. So I posted a link to the Google cached site. That is a snapshot from a couple days ago, but I can't imagine too much has changed yet. is that it?
Yeah,
I think that's it.
I don't know what else.
All right, let's sign off. Obviously, check us out at bleedgeek.com for any new articles that might be popping up, and follow us on Twitter for new tweets and updates on news and different things that we post there.
Yeah, I've been trying to post updates on the Bleed Geek Twitter at least every other day, almost daily now, just, you know, little things I find interesting. And
you should like us on Facebook, because you should.
Yeah. Facebook.com/bleedgeek.
Fairly simple.
So that's it for this edition of Bleed Geek. I'm Randy Orbis.
I'm Mike Earl.
I'm Patrick McGivern.
Stay classy, San Diego.
St. Paul. Or Roseville.
Wherever you may be.
Yeah. Stay classy in your respective region.
In your respective region.